This is KTWH LP at 99.5 FM. This is Leo today here. Seems like it's been weeks, and it's probably been 5 or 6 weeks since I had a chance to visit with Michaela Rice. They're the naturalist up at Gooseberry Falls State Park. It's past mid-March, meaning basically spring is here.
Spring has sprung.
It includes a big snowstorm way south of here, so it's pretty perplexing, complicated weather-wise, but we've had our warm days, haven't we?
Yeah, and spring is also about snow, so that tracks, right?
Right, and we actually didn't have a high-depth snow winter at all, so we could use soil moisture replenishment by frozen or liquid.
Oh, yeah.
Water, right?
Yeah, I'm getting angsty to see some of these little plants starting to emerge, and they would love precipitation in any form. So
that little spark of a little shower could be the moment that they choose to pop out on the forest floor. So you gotta look every day, I think, folks, here on out.
Yeah, we had our first thunderstorm last week. For those of you, I don't know, you know, if you were up at that time, it sounded at first maybe like some semi-trucks were coming through, you know, two harbors, and it's like, wait a minute, what is that? And then boom, lightning, you know.
Yeah,
well, and then the boom after, but.
There was one boom that you knew wasn't a semi-truck, but you're right. Most of it was that kind of rumbling like a giant with stomach gas. But where do we stand phenologically, Michaela? We don't quite have the ice all off of the streams. For instance, at Gooseberry, there's still ice above the falls, I take it?
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking of it as we're kind of 1 foot in, 1 foot out of dormancy. Some of our critters are still dormant. Some of our plants are still dormant, but there's a lot of waking. Obviously, the snow, the ice is melting on some of the rivers, and even the ground is still yet to thaw. But we have some of the bigger birds moving through. You know, they've really kicked off the migration season, the geese, the swans, the sandhill cranes. Some of those larger water birds have been sighted moving through. One update, I learned a little bit more about our great gray owl friends.
You mean our so-called eruption?
Yeah. Most of those owls should have probably left before March if they were going to be reproductively successful in getting back to set up a territory. There is a chance that some of those juveniles would have maybe not made the trek back and actually are staying in northeast Minnesota. I talked to a non-game biologist, and she is going to kind of look to see just kind of observationally if maybe there are more great gray owls that will be nesting in goshawk nests that they monitor.
Okay.
So that will maybe give just kind of a sense to see if some of those owls stayed and are going to try to reproduce. Otherwise, they're probably just going to, obviously, their priority is to keep eating and keep growing, and then maybe we'll make it home eventually. But
I am intrigued because I can't remember the exact date, but they talked about roughly in the 15-year ago kind of territory that there was a similar or slightly larger eruption, and I was curious. You said that some of them, especially younger owls who stay behind, would they actually be able to set up a reproducing population over
time? There's a
or would they eventually kind of fizzle out, if you know what I mean?
I think they would fizzle out and go back to their natal range, we'd call it. So that's if great gray owls show what we'd call natal fecundity. They're going to go back to where they were born.
Okay.
I'm guessing that is the case. But it only takes, you know, a small number of individuals maybe to make a local population. But in terms of the last invasion, I heard about 20 years ago was the one where maybe most similarly to these numbers, where there was likely high reproduction last year and a huge food shortage this year. And so it pushed a lot of birds out and a lot of juveniles had to leave.
Hence the question, because if there's such a growth in the population, it may be that some birds have to take hold of territory that hasn't been inhabited by that species before. Yeah. And we're also boreal owls. You mentioned, of course, the great gray, and everybody was just wild for the boreals because apparently they're one of the hardest birds to come upon to observe.
Yeah, and they're also, you know, their population is threatened in North America, so
I guess that's why they're hard to observe, too.
Yeah, yep. They're also just individually very rare. And so that could likely be the case with some of those boreals, as they're maybe trying to take advantage of breeding territory down here. But their breeding requirements are even They need what I learned is an old snag, maybe like an aspen tree to cavity nest in.
Yeah.
But they also need mature conifers very close to where they actually go and roost and do the calling.
So I'll explain a dilemma is that they just missed by a few years because 8 years ago we had lots of standing balsam fir. Mm-hmm. Most of which are all dead now.
Yeah, so, right, we have also this mismatch maybe now of a lot of dying conifers. Maybe our aspen snags are doing great, but if they don't have that secondary component, they can't survive. So just lots of things, you know, we're going to really have to be forward focused on like forest management and keeping a diversity of trees on the landscape. That's going to be best for a lot of these critters, right?
Most creatures that mm-hmm. will do better by... There are so, always specialists out there, but yeah.
For sure. Yeah. So tell me what else you've been thinking about, Leo.
Well, you told me that you saw the signs of life in the leaves and buds of a few plants. Do you want to?
The ones I've seen is the wild strawberry, oxeye daisy. I think they are probably so prolific because they get this early jump start on growth. And then what else have I noticed? The bunchberry leaves kind of stay intact. They're kind of in that dormant stage.
Sure. And of the taller perennials, willow and I think you said tag alder, you're seeing a hint.
Mm-hmm.
It's a green up.
Yeah, bud expansion and stuff going on there.
Okay. And I'm looking out my window every day and seeing that none of the bird feeders have been disturbed by a big mammal, the black bear, and that our little friends that usually come on board in the spring, the chipmunks, I haven't quite seen them yet. Good God, don't ask me about red squirrels.
They're awake. They're very active.
They're extremely busy.
Yep, and probably taking advantage of this time where some of the other competitors aren't awake as well. So
right.
And they love it. They love to be the star of the show.
Yes, and I have a canine visiting me this week, so I'm hearing all about, wow, you've got a lot of those guys. What are they again? Can I go get one?
Mm-hmm.
You've got some good stuff, too, happening at Gooseberry and in town at our local public library.
Yeah, so I am doing I've always been doing non-official birding hikes, but these I'm labeling as birding hikes.
Oh, my.
So it's all about the birds. I'm doing a birding hike every month until August. Right now, I'll tell you about Wednesday, April 9th at 8:30 and Wednesday, May 7th at 8 o'clock. So the goal is to be around the first Wednesday of the month. If you happen to be off that day and want to come go on a bird hike, come to Gooseberry for those dates. And then I have two more programs that I wanted to highlight to kind of close out my library season. So this is Tuesday, April 22nd, 4 to 6 is the Community Creations program. And then the following Tuesday at the library, April 29th at 5 o'clock, we'll have another round of nature poetry.
Uh-huh.
Reading, sharing, discussion. It was so lovely last time. We just had a really laid back, you know, intriguing conversation about just nature and poetry and wherever it went. And it was just so lovely.
And this is when you had Shelley Getten join you?
Mm-hmm.
And were there other folks among the audience who kind of either wrote their own or were real readers?
Both.
Poetry readers?
Yes, both. So okay. It was a nice mix.
And what time of the day on April 29th?
That will be at 5 p.m. in the library meeting room.
Okay. Excellent.
And of course, all those programs can be viewed online at the Parks and Trails event calendar.
Indeed. So they are now official hikes. And I was going to ask you, if the first one on April 9th is at 8:30 and the one on May 7th is at 8 o'clock, are you going to start having hikes at 6:30 and 7 a.m.?
Yeah, I think we're just going to go earliest at 8 o'clock.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought the solstice is coming up. Maybe you're just going to take advantage of the ever-increasing light. Long story short, you probably won't ever catch me at an 8 o'clock birding hike.
These are definitely for
some
people.
If we do a night hike looking for snipe, that would be fun.
That's another thing for me to consider, nighttime bird or just nighttime critter hikes.
Meanwhile, anything else we should be looking for before we meet again in April? What would be in the offing? And this should be an ever busier time of the year.
Oh, I don't know. I just encourage you all to kind of maybe think of one thing you're excited for in the spring. And if we get a big dump of snow, just let that hope get you through the next few weeks. We really are on the cusp of greening up here.
But there probably will be a yo-yo event where it doesn't. Yeah. It looks like 2 weeks, 3 weeks back, and then it, by the end of another week, you can't remember that it snowed. So hopefully that's the way it goes, that we get through this together. And mud season obviously has only just begun to think about being being all it can be.
And hey, just take this time to also be thankful that there aren't ticks and mosquitoes out yet. So with that in mind, it'd be a perfect time to go out on your first birding hike.
Well, I am suspicious about the ticks, so I will reserve judgment whether or not people would find no ticks. Because,
they probably are waking up for sure.
Because they are pretty tough, as we've found out. All right, that's what I have. Michaela, anything else that I should have asked?
No, I think we wandered enough for today.
Wandering Nature News. I didn't even introduce it as such, but that's what it is. Leo and Michaela, once a month, and it will be probably going forward the third Tuesday before the third Wednesday. I'll explain that in more depth when I do my webinar. And seriously, folks, thanks, Michaela, so much for being able to do this with us, and we appreciate you and all the programs as well.
Thanks for having me.
I will see you on the radio. Take care. This is Leo for KTWH